Welcome to Bottom Line Sports Talk, where we cover sports and more for the culture, by the culture, because we are the culture. Hosted by your favorite twin duo, those Jackson men, Gary and Kerry. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, where you can rate us, review, subscribe, follow, and most importantly, share.
Told you this ain't rap, it's blood sport. Grab that beer right there.
Man, stop touching my beard, dog. It is a new 2021. It is the new year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everybody.
Champions.
Okay.
We don't have to dwell on it, but it's
y'all,
just...
Y'all got that.
And it, to be honest, I watched a piece of that game. Like, it got boring when I made it home. I wasn't even tripping on the game, the Alabama-Ohio State game. I was just happy Nick got six with Alabama, one with LSU, so seven all together.
Yeah.
I don't think when he's at Michigan State, he got anything, so that's fine. So he got seven all together. He the GOAT of college football. Numbers. Every year he got ranking, you know, all that stuff like that. So, yeah, Nick.
I ain't going to say every year, but.
No, I'm talking about, like, his ranking. Like, not the championship. I'm talking about the ranking of football players. They top five. So they keep a good incoming class.
Since 2010, because I remember
maybe like
they lost
maybe like nine, yeah, maybe like 9 to 10.
Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, consistency wise, how many to go? Too bad it don't transition to NFL.
Yeah, man, it do.
As far as getting started off, I feel it's only correct that in 2021. We talk about the revolution.
It must not be televised.
Talk about the insurrection. Let's be honest.
I was just going to say, instead of you saying that, let's talk about the white folk riot that happened in D.C.
That's a revolution.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the insurrection.
But yeah, let's talk about that for a second. To a lot of people that have been following news, even if you don't follow the news, I'm pretty sure last week, you heard about it, you read about it, you saw the clips, you saw the wreckage of some Caucasians or a lot of Caucasians going down to D.C. from all parts of the country and just terrorizing the White House.
No, Capitol Hill.
I'm sorry, Capitol Hill.
They weren't coming to the White House.
Yeah, they can't come to the White House. I'm tripping. Yeah.
Trump didn't invite them.
And he can't invite him.
Well, I mean, he could have, but he didn't invite him in the White House. You don't want to mess up where you lay. You know the saying, shit where you lay?
Yeah. He already did that anyway.
Well, I mean, I'm saying Capitol Hill is where, you know, the other parts of Congress, the judicial system, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, but yeah, let's not reckon on all of that. Let's not go into depth in all of that. But yeah, go ahead.
I need to ask all y'all. How many of y'all knew what an insurrection was before it was stated last week?
I'm going to be honest. I did not.
I did not either.
I admit it.
I'm a little bit of a reader, so yeah. I didn't know. I don't think I ever heard of the word before then.
Yeah.
So what I want all y'all to do, if you follow us on Instagram, we're still on Twitter. Not as much, but we're going to say Instagram. If you follow us on Instagram, BLSportsTalk51, just in case you don't know. Give us your best words of insurrection.
Without looking it up on Google.
Yeah, like we want to hear your definitions, but then, you know, use it in a sentence. And if we could, let's make it sports reference. Like, James Harden had an insurrection with the Houston Rockets
GM,
and had a extradition charge to, no, executionary charge to the New York Knicks. Brooklyn Nets.
Well,
I forgot it's not the Knicks. I'm tripping on the name.
We're gonna get to that later, which reminds me I need to play 2K21 before it update and put James Harden with the Nets. But that's neither here nor there. Just one last time. But anyway, let's get back to Capitol Hill, man. What do you think? What was your reaction at first when you found out about it?
I laughed. I completely and utterly laugh. I think you saw me laugh when I saw all the stuff coming when we were both working from home. I saw all the stuff coming. I went in the room and turned to CNN. I just laughed. A lot of people were upset because they were comparing it to Black Lives Matter. I'm sorry, y'all. It's not really a comparison. Again, I won't get into that right now. Maybe one of our guests here in the near future, we can get into it with a little bit more detail. But when it comes to what happened on Capitol Hill, one, it was a warning from black and brown people that this man has no sense at all and his following is crazy. Number two, because of the warning, that's why I laugh.
Right.
Because of what you did back in the protests from April all the way until, and you had militia basically, horses and cops and all. You had everything you could think of, tear gas, messing these people up.
Right.
So for that, Washington police didn't look like they were, or Capitol Hill police, whatever you want to call it, didn't even look like they were warned. I don't know.
And now you see videos, like video services of politicians that saw the people at the door. Like I saw one go outside or leave Capitol Hill, and two riders, they wind up going up in there. And you know, I don't want to say the whole thing of, you know, what if they were black? You know, because everybody say the same thing. But at the same time, if you look at everything that transpired from last week, and if you look at everything that transpired with the peaceful protests, with the Black Lives Matter and everything going on, you see what world we living in right now. And at this point in time, America does look weak for making that happen, and nothing is happening to the people that, or the criminals. I'm gonna just say that the criminals that went to Capitol Hill, invaded Capitol Hill.
Well, they got some arrested, and they say they're gonna face some punishment.
Yeah,
so.
But I need that punishment. I don't need to be just slap on the wrist. Maybe they get maybe a year or two in jail. I need them to literally get time spent, like maybe 5 years to a decade, because that was uncaused for. People weren't safe, and at this point in time, they were up in there, but we don't know what happened. Like we both saw. Oh, I know I saw. The woman that got shot. Yeah, I mean, sad, but she got shot.
Well, at the end of the day, they are making those arrests, I guess you can say. They're trying to, you know, serve justice, but a law was made by the current, soon-to-be former president that said if you vandalize any federal building, that you will be sentenced to the, I think, maximum of 10 years. It may be minimum, it may be maximum, but 10 years was the thing.
They need to reflect on that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So because he made that law, that should be the precedent we'll see. But I just find it laughable. The reason why I say it's laughable, because nobody really was taking it seriously. Like, what are you talking about? He's not harmful. He's speaking the truth. He's trying to make America great again. And to that I say, before we move on to the next topic, America was never not great. The reason why it's great,
because of us.
Because of us. It's built on the backs of immigrants, mainly African Americans. We can go down that road later again. But it was built on the backs of immigrants, those who are not from here. It was built on the less fortunate, less educated, less privileged, whatever you want to say. So, yes, America has always been great because it came from nothing and turned into something. And it's not because of those who are rich. It's built off the backs of those who are poor, less fortunate, whatever you want to say.
Right.
America was never not great. So, for anybody who follows this crazy maniac, I just salute you, because January 20th, I'm going to see boo-hoo tears everywhere. For those Republicans that supported 45... For those Democrats who were silent, which means you supported him too. For all those who was like, oh, it's not that bad. If you were on Capitol Hill last week, that's just an inkling of what can happen when you let somebody of true tyranny dictatorship.
And don't let nobody think that what you did was cause for it, because at the end of the day, it did nothing. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they still gonna be in the White House. Ain't nothing gonna happen to them. Hopefully nothing physically happens to them.
Hey, they better take that trip on Zoom next week.
Yeah, they better. Hopefully they do. But yeah, like I said, everybody has to face their actions. And I hope whatever happens in the future with everybody that was at Capitol Hill, that invaded Capitol Hill, I hope that they get the full extent punishment. that is deserved to him. So I don't want to hear, and I probably will hear the what they tears, the family members tears, saying they treat my son bad in prison, or they just like the lady, her son is in prison, and she's saying that he need to eat organic food. I don't want to hear none of that.
It's organic. It's organically from that mess off.
Right. So I can give two you know what about it. But hey, y'all made that decision. Y'all clearly ain't think about what y'all doing. And then y'all going on social media saying what y'all did, saying y'all full government name. So hey, congrats to being stupid. Common sense ain't so much common. That's all I'm gonna say about that. That's it.
Speaking of social media, that'll take us to our next topic. Booker mother freaking McFarland comments on former Washington football team quarterback Dwayne Haskins, drafted 15th overall in the first round. His comments are in, and I'm going to use bigger words than what I usually would, so follow me here. Yeah. His comments were an indictment on what is wrong with Black America.
Yeah.
Booker making his comments, and I'll look them up whenever you get going so we can, you know, kind of quote them verbatim. But Booker making his comments are silly, stupid, and you're the real embarrassment, not Dwayne Haskins. When you look at Washington football team, when he came in to now, outside of Terry McLaurin, I believe that's how you say his last name, who on that team?
Nobody.
Like, they just got Chase Young. I will admit their defense has always been a little bit formidable, depending on who they play. Mm-hmm. And the NFC East is, you know, definitely a different type of division, right?
Yep.
But when it comes to Dwayne Haskins actually being set up for success, he was not. No weapons, no offensive line, much like Jamarcus Russell back when he was drafted to the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
Back when they were in Oakland, of course, because they're in Vegas now. He's set up for failure. And I actually have an article that I'm working on. And I'll get into, you know, kind of some of the points that we were talking about, I think, Monday.
Yeah.
But I guess you can speak on what you feel before I dive into it. I'm going to go find the comments real quick.
Well, I know when it first came up, I saw it on ESPN and it was all over social media. And pretty much he was just saying that a lot of African-Americans come in there and they don't necessarily just start, you know, working hard. It's like if they made it, they made it, and now they, you know, they want to get their brand game up. They want to make money with the brand game. But my whole thing, he had said that, I told you, I was like, well, why do you just generalize it to just African-American men? Why just can't be all quarterbacks, or why can't be all players that come in the league? Because it ain't, I mean, of course, the league is what, maybe 70% African American anyway, but yeah, it's a lot of other players, you know, other races that come in there. They think they made it. And again, like, we looking at it right now, as we speak right now, Baker Mayfield, everywhere you look at it, NFL, he always have commercials. Whether it's what, Geico, Progressive, whatever.
Progressive,
Hulu, and stuff like that. Always have commercials. And he was pretty bad. Like, I ain't gonna lie, he was pretty bad.
Nah, you gotta call it is. He was god awful.
Yeah, he was god awful bad, especially last year. Last year was terrible. And nobody said a lot. I know Colin Cowherd, you know, had his disagreements about him. Skip had his disagreements about him. But at the end of the day, if it just didn't work out for Dwayne Haskins, it just didn't work out. Robert Griffin, they didn't do anything for Robert
Griffin.
That was the last good Washington football quarterback. But I mean, you gotta give him some kind of leeway, because Dwayne Haskins, hey, if he don't do good, then he's just a bust.
But see, this is my thing. I'm gonna get to his comments first. So just a few excerpts from what he said. He's like, oftentimes young players, especially, I'm gonna go ahead and especially say young African American players, which make up 70% of the league, like you said, they don't come into the league saying how I can be a better player, a better teammate. They don't come in saying, how can I be a better person? How can I get my organization over the hump? They come in saying, how can I build my social media following, get my brand, work out on Instagram, things like that. I know what I heard about Haskins when he was coming out. And everybody was high on him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have went 15th overall, mm-hmm. right? Haskins had a successful career at Ohio State, especially that last year, right?
Especially, and then on top of that, they started Dwayne Haskins over Joe Burrow that went to LSU.
Well, but for all intents and purposes, Dwayne was right for their team. They had a very successful, I think they went to the, if they didn't make it to the playoffs, they was in the 56 seed game. Right. So they made it, and they did a very effective thing that year, right? Mm-hmm. So he had a successful career. He looked like he had all the intangibles. He gets drafted to Washington. And I love how you use, he wants to build his brand and all that, like you said, with Baker Mayfield on every commercial. My person I want to go to, and you said this other one too, I said Carson Wentz, you said Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins was at Washington and was a god-awful quarterback. Pick six Cousins, that was his name. Mm-hmm. You can bet your bottom dollar he was going to throw a pick six, especially in the big game if they was ahead and it was going to cost them the game.
Right.
Carson Wentz has an indictment on him right now, and everybody's saying he should be ready to go into somebody else's organization and make an impact. Why? He proved he don't have what it takes. After he got hurt, and again, the injuries ain't his fault, but they didn't win the Super Bowl because of him. They were in the playoffs because of him. Mm-hmm. The Super Bowl was won because of Nick Foles, who they got rid of, who I said that was a mistake because it works with Nick Foles only in Philadelphia. Carson Wentz, when it comes to him, it wasn't working. The offensive line was hurt. They had key injuries on the wide receiver position. Defense was tired, all this and all that. Insert Jalen Hurts, and all of a sudden it's working now. Yep. Why? Because he can run, because he can function outside of just being a pocket passer, because he has an instinct that Carson Wentz was supposed to have, but he doesn't.
Well,
but Carson Wentz is getting a shake because they're saying, well, Carson Wentz can do it. Why ain't Dwayne Haskins? He ain't never get a fair chance to start.
And none of them, like I said, a lot of them, especially the black quarterbacks, none of them don't ever get us. They don't really give them the opportunity to shine because they don't have enough talent around them to do so.
And they don't give them enough time.
And that, again, like I said, and then I go back to the other discussion that we had, especially with black coaches. And I know I talked to my barber about it, but I said, right now, I said, what they going to do is they going to get the
Eric Bieniemy.
Eric Bieniemy, he'll probably get played somewhere. He might go to Houston, might go to Atlanta. Ryan will have a couple of good seasons left out of him, but that team won't do nothing. And then what they'll wind up doing is they'll start all over, and then they want the black coach to start coaching that team, knowing that team will lose. And then after the next thing you know, boom, they'll wind up getting the right pieces. And then next thing you know, white coach come in, and everything will be just perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, at the end of the day, Dwayne Haskins, I do think he deserves a spot on the NFL roster. I don't just think he's just a horrible bust like what everybody's saying.
I don't think he'll bust.
But at the same time, if you give him a shot in a new better organization, then we'll see what happens. But at the moment right now, he just wasn't good enough for Washington, and it may be a blessing in disguise because he may go to somewhere else, be a backup, or he may be a starter somewhere else, and hopefully he'll shine.
I just, like I said, I just look at it. He wasn't given enough time. They didn't really want him to be in that organization.
And Mike Rivera didn't want him there either.
Ron. That's what I'm saying. But Ron Rivera got that right just because he said, hey, I didn't draft the kid. So he was like, I'm not going to give him a chance.
Right.
So when I look at it, hey, cool, he gone. But don't indict him and say, oh, all he care about is his brand and his image. Because at the end of the day, number one, this ain't college.
Right.
Number two, you better care because just like they let you go, if you have nothing to fall back on, what's going to happen?
Right. And get all the money you can.
You know what I'm saying? So for him to say that, it's just stupid because it's like, you understand what these African-American players are coming from. Ain't no way in West hell they are not taking this opportunity serious. They just changed their whole generational cycle. And now they're creating generational wealth. And you saying they're not taking it serious?
And who don't want to come? And who come in the NFL saying they ain't taking it serious? And then who want to be on the losing end of anything? Exactly. Who wants to come in? Man, I got the money and everything, but when I go out there and compete, I want to go out there and lose. Who want to do that?
And I can't speak for any other race. I can only speak for African Americans. It ain't even in our blood to say that. We competitive playing board games.
Right.
People competitive when they say, oh, we about to race. And we going to be hurting. Or be like, hey, you ready? We competitive with that. Let's go race to the mailbox.
Yeah, they're the fastest 2 miles or the fastest around the block.
Yeah. Like,
nobody will go in no situation thinking about their brand and losing at the same time.
When you ball a piece of paper up and shoot it in the trash can.
Say Kobe.
Who not competitive with that? Because the first thing, I can't speak for no other race. I can just speak for her. When you miss it, what you going to do? Pick it up, right?
Right. And go back, shoot it again.
Or don't sit up there and be going against somebody. Bet you I can outdo you. Right. Bet you I can outdo you. So, come on. I don't know what Booker was thinking. I hate him for that. And I ain't really with the cancel culture. But that comment should be canceled from the culture.
that whole excerpt he had said should be canceled.
And he really thought he was doing something.
I mean, that's why I'm saying you just can't. The comments he made in regards to Dwayne specifically, they may have been right. We don't know Dwayne's personal situation. But you just can't say a lot of African Americans. I'm like, fam, just think about 70%. If you say a lot, 60%. If you just say just a lot, that's 60%. That's still a lot.
I mean,
all across the board.
My whole thing is this: don't just make it like it's African. If it is true, and I don't think it is, don't make it like it's just African American.
And then you
anybody in the league,
right? And then you go on TV, you see everybody but African Americans. The only black person I've seen is Saquon Smith. Everybody else is.
Well, and then this is my whole thing with this. Before you make that comment on TV, Booker, I just need to ask you this. Are you really doing a lot to prepare your younger brothers that's out here in the NFL, since this is a brotherhood and all that, it's a lifelong fraternity? Are you doing that much? Because if you are, then you would make that comment. You'll pull him aside or call him on the phone. Hey, I know it's a little rough right now. I kind of see what you got going
on.
Maybe you don't do it as much. Or maybe we make sure we focus on it more in the off season. Mm-hmm. Or how about this? You know, let me come do a little pub for you. Whatever. Because you out here trying to build your brand too. Because when you left the NFL, you didn't know what you was going to do. You just hoped you got an analyst job.
Yep. And then at the same time, like with all of that that's been going on, like you don't know what he's doing with his personal time. And his brand may be just to help out people, help out the homeless. You don't know. That might be his brand. So you saying this brand bad for doing that? I don't think so. But let's get to the next topic at hand, which is
that's your topic right there.
James Harden going to the Brooklyn Nets, and
after
this
whining and complaining. Go ahead.
Whining and complaining, still playing, which I do salute him for that. When it comes to James Harden and basketball and him not taking rest days, him always competing and. Maybe he wasn't competing at such a high level, but he was still putting up pretty big numbers, pretty good numbers. But it just didn't mesh well in Houston. He had opportunities with Chris Paul, Dwight Howard, had a nice supporting cast, had Russell Westbrook. But unfortunately, he just went against a couple of the monsters, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. LeBron James, he had a lot of people that he went up against, so unfortunately, he couldn't get over that hump, that proverbial hump that I know he can. So fortunately, he got dealt to Brooklyn, and I think Brooklyn won the trade. Of course, I'm gonna have to go back on that statement pretty soon.
No.
But I think Houston won the trade because they got four first round picks. They got some more picks from Milwaukee.
They got a fresh Victor Oladipo.
But right now, the only thing I'm gonna question, especially with Brooklyn, Allen gone, he's gone, and of course Caris LeVert is gone. And I definitely do like both of those players. But now, if you look at the starting lineup for the Brooklyn Nets, you have Kyrie Irving, you have James Harden, then you have Joe Harris, the 3-point barrage shooter. Then for the small forwards, whatever you still have Kevin Durant and a couple of more people. And then when it comes to the bigs, the only person you have a big is DeAndre Jordan. So now the question comes in, who's gonna come off that bench score for you at this point in time? Right now, it's looking pretty shaky, but you know, maybe if Kyrie does come back, We'll see how that team, we can see how that team gel. Maybe James Harden may have to come off the bench like he did for OKC because, and I said the same thing, his pride won't let him do it because of the stuff he did in Houston. I agree. I don't think he's going to come off the bench, but it's going to have to be a lot of sacrifice for that team to get to win that the NBA championship for this year. So
I think Brooklyn Nets, and I don't think they're winning this year because it's a lot of things that got to go right for them to get that chemistry right. I think this set them back a year. they were looking very decent with just Kyrie and KD, and they were working it out. I don't know if they get out the East. You know what
this
I'm saying?
Year? This year?
Nah, I don't know. I think the Houston won. I know the Houston won. Four first round picks, a fresh Victor Oladipo, and a happy John Wall, who seems to stick up for the organization. And although, by the way, John Wall, I think, is a blood, so he's in red now. That's a plus. So looks like, you know, Houston came out on top, which kudos to them. So they got rid of an unhappy player, right?
Right.
And they dealt him, which doesn't really happen all the time, to where he wanted to go.
Right.
I am looking at Brooklyn with side eyes like a mofo.
Why?
Because I don't understand how it's going to work out when Kyrie come back. It might work out with Kevin Durant and James Harden. My whole thing is, even with just two of the personalities, whoever it is, Kyrie, KD, all this stuff, whoever you mix in there, you get three of them. Kevin Durant is very ball dominant. And since he went to Golden State Warriors and they demanded that he shoot more, he's stepped into that and owned it. He likes being the enemy, quote unquote. He's cool with being a bad guy. James Harden, ball dominant. That's why it didn't work in Houston no more. They fed his ego a lot to, you know, get him the ball because he is a playmaker, because he does do what he needs to do. And they went away from saying, hey, make it a team instead of, but what they were doing was saying, we building a team around him.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It didn't work. And again, I'm not saying he didn't go up against insurmountable odds. I'm saying when you play the style of ball all year, when you get to the playoffs, everybody know what they got to do. You could outscore us, and we're fine with it.
Right.
But if the rest of your team don't get going, it doesn't matter. So that's why it didn't work in Houston, because somebody figured it out. Golden State was just overpowered. I'm not talking about them. Portland figured it out that year.
Well, Portland figured it out in 2015?
That's what I'm saying. So Portland figured it out first. And every time they got bumped from the playoffs, it's because somebody was like, James can score half a much. He's not going to score 100.
Yeah, that's the thing, especially with LeBron James. Like, teams want LeBron. If LeBron scores 50 points a game, that's fine. But you just don't let him get everybody else involved.
If he get everybody else involved, which is his game, which is an homage to who he is, you get him involved. I mean, you get everybody else to get involved, and he scores. You're losing,
right?
Straight up, and that's what he likes with what he has with AD. But back to the ordeal in Brooklyn, when it comes to what they have going on, because Kyrie is very ball dominant. Of course, Kyrie is a team effer upper. So maybe they making a move to get rid of Kyrie.
I don't think so, because the reason KD went to Brooklyn was because of Kyrie.
And that's cool. Now he got Harden.
now he have Harden, which he borrowed with for a long period of time.
That's what I'm saying.
And Kyrie ain't making this case no better, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. So we know what Kyrie does eventually, and that's getting happy and, you know, start opening his mouth to say certain things and basically begin to, like, divide the team. So this is, I guess, extra insurance. Mm-hmm. Where I don't see it's going to work is because you have three ball-dominant people. James Harden is used to having it his way. Kevin Durant knows what it's like to share, because he was on probably the most loaded team in history, right? Mm-hmm. So he knows what it's like to share. But at the end of the day, they empower KD to take the last shot, right? Mm-hmm. And KD wanted to take the last shot. What you think he won in Brooklyn?
Same thing.
And then I think Kyrie knows to a certain level, which is why he makes the comments, KD is the man. KD can take the last shot. I don't really want it no way, because if I miss it, they're going to blame me. And, oh, by the way, KD probably going to make it.
Right.
So Kyrie was okay with it. But now you have another backcourt personality. Mm-hmm. I think you see the competitor Kyrie come out like, nah, he cannot do me. And I know what you're saying. You're like, nah, they should be all good with team ball. But when have you ever seen these this many three ball dominant people on one team. Not two, but three.
And that's what I'm saying, besides the Russell Westbrook, Durant, and Harden era in OKC. But
they were young and shared, though,
too. But they, exactly. And now it comes down to, you know, because all of them can make clutch shots. That's the thing. Like, who gonna make that last shot? And Steve Nash have a lot on his hands, but right now, yeah, you still have to go with KD because
KD.
Yeah, it's KD all the way. But Lord have mercy, it's just like them three.
A seven foot wingspan. He's 6'9", 6'10".
Maybe 7 foot.
I know he ain't quite 7 feet, but his wingspan is like 7'7", 7'6", something like that.
Yeah.
His wingspan is out this world. He's basically a lighter Anthony Davis with a more deadlier 3-point shot.
And more handles.
So it's like, yeah, of course it's going to KD. But then how do the other two feel? Because Kyrie is a champion, which is an advantage for him. James Harden not. And I think, and this is just me thinking, before we look at anything else, the psyche of James Harden is, I got to win my team a ship. Not be a part of.
And that's the reason he ain't going to go nowhere.
And that's why he didn't want to go nowhere. Because
he want to do it, yeah.
So that's the most crucial question. Can you change that mindset? Because you're going to have to. Like, to be honest, it was no doubt in my mind when this happened, it's Kevin Durant team. That's just me. It's got to be. Like, homeboy dominated in OKC. He was and could have been the franchise, right? Mm-hmm. He dominated in Golden State, even though they were already effective. He made them unbeatable.
Right.
Had he not gotten hurt that last year, I don't think Toronto winning. I don't think it's a matchup. Because him being healthy, what was it, for a couple of minutes?
Game five.
Yeah, for a couple of minutes, they was hitting on all cylinders. And then he got hurt again.
And all he was doing was pretty much just spotting up.
He wasn't driving.
He wasn't doing nothing. He was just spotting up. And I think before he messed up his Achilles, I think he had like 12 points.
Yeah, he had 10 to 12 points.
Just spotting up, man.
So him being just that is why it has to be his team. Can James Harden agree to fall in line? I don't know. Does he have a choice now? No.
Yeah.
Everybody's
going to have to fall in line.
But that's what I'm saying. The crossfire to it is Kyrie going to stay in line now? Because it's not your team. You tried to do it in Boston. It didn't work. Now you on your second team. Homie, you ain't got too many more choices. Because the younger dudes are coming in the league now. And they like, hey, I'd rather develop somebody than deal with your attitude.
And right now... Is it worth it? Like Stephen A. Smith said, if Stephen A. said his opinion, he don't think Kyrie worth it. At this point right now, he just doing it. I don't think he worth it either, man. I love watching Kyrie. He's one of my favorite players to watch. But, man, with everything he be doing off the court, which is a lot of stuff is good, but it's just the little stuff like what's happening right now. Him being at a birthday party. And if he was at your sister's birthday party, I'm not mad at that. But you just got to tell everybody, whoever is at that birthday party, don't bring your phone and record. And don't record me.
But come on, dog.
I'm just saying.
Let's be honest.
I'm just saying.
You in a room with your boy James Harden. You not pulling your phone out? We met Nerlens Noel in Vegas.
Yeah, I met OJ Mayo.
You met OJ Mayo. Come on, bro. You in a room with James Harden. You not going to pull your phone out?
But nah, that's family. Like, that's family. They can see that man all the time. Like, that's family. You can see him all the time.
Well, maybe it wasn't family. Maybe they had a friend. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it was a friend that came. But I'm just, okay, let's give it the benefit of the doubt. Family ain't going to pull their phone out. But that's just like when we go home. Don't people always have their phone out? You know what I'm saying?
Taking pictures of us? And why don't take pictures of us?
Well, no. But I'm saying, though, we ain't celebrities. James Harden is. If that's your family and he famous, like, you know, somebody trying to slide. Like, hey, look who this is right here. You know?
I mean, his personal reasons could have been whatever.
I know somebody who cousins with Jamie Foxx. First thing when everybody heard he was cousin with Jamie Foxx, guess what? Hey, you can let me meet Jamie. Yeah. So, come on. Homie might have seen Jamie twice in his life. Hey, bro, we from the same place. Hey, hook me up with about a couple hundred autographs. I'm gonna sell them real quick. Dog. I'm gonna give you a piece of the pro- oh, you don't need this.
Dog.
I'm just saying. So it might not even be them. All only thing I'm saying is you can tell somebody not to, but let's be real. Like the age is here now. I don't care if it's your family. They gonna put it on there.
Okay, I mean,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, we come to the time we need to wrap this up. So get them out. Get them in. Get them up.
Man, let's see what we got. Because I have so much, so much.
If you don't get these 2 picks out, because you,
man, you gotta like be, you. Do it got to be 2 picks. But anyway,
yeah.
I got it. Fabulous Rapping 6 and Skyzoo Range Rover Rhythm. Shout out to Range Rover Rhythm.
Yeah, Freddie Gibbs and featuring Big Sean, 4 Things.
That's not the same.
And Less Ellie Dollar Sign Competition Package.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us. We are on this journey. We thank y'all for being on this journey with us. We shall be coming to a YouTube channel near you very, very soon. We getting rock and rolling. We ask for the support. Send us some people our way for some interviews if you would like to hear them on our podcast. Hear them go on a deep dive journey with us, if you will. Mm. Other than that, man, y'all be easy. Y'all gonna be hearing from us real soon.
Thank you for listening to Bottom Line Sports Talk. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and don't forget to share. We'll see you next time.